Welcome to Alternative Dog Moms Podcast. I'm Kimberly Gauthier, the creator of Keep the Tail Wagging. For the past 9 years, I've been blogging about raw feeding, pet wellness, and life as a crazy dog mom. I've seen massive improvements in my dog's health since I started raising my dogs naturally, and I'm passionate about sharing my experience to help other pet parents.
I'm Erin Scott. For the past 9 years, I've been researching and learning everything I can about healing cancer, allergies, autoimmune, and mystery illnesses in both my dogs and myself. And I can't wait to share with you everything I've learned on this journey. As the Alternative Dog Moms, we're bringing you all the latest dog health news that we're following and sharing the tips, tricks, and resources we learn along the way. Now, let's get started. Hello, Kimberly.
Hello, Erin. How are you?
I am good. We need to celebrate our 2-year podiversary.
Oh, that is like so exciting that we, you know, we've kept it up. I actually think we have a really good momentum going. I mean, I've actually really, not that I don't enjoy our podcast, but I'm like getting really good feedback from people. Like people, oh my gosh, the Myos. The number of people who already knew about this supplement and were giving it to their dogs and leaving their own experiences was like really blew me away.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's like I've been giving it to my dogs for a week now. And so it's originally just supposed to be for, my plan was for it to be for Zoe and Apollo. But one day I was in auto mode and I wasn't thinking. And so I added it to Bella's meals a couple of times. I don't think it's going to be a big deal, but
yeah.
So I'm counting down to a month and see if I notice any changes. Mostly I want to see if I notice any changes in Zoe. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. I need to order some for Nino. I haven't yet. That one's a little pricey.
I have a program on my computer that searches for coupon codes.
Mm.
And so when I ordered it, it just like goes and runs through a bunch of coupon codes and it found the 25% off one. And so that's,
oh, nice.
I ordered it for 25% off.
Nice.
So, yeah. Yeah. Oh, and then if you sign up for their mailing list, you get a 20% off.
Yeah. I saw that. I was going to do that. Welcome. Yeah.
I think it's welcome 20 or something like that. So yeah, so I'm waiting for the joint supplement, but this one is nice, and I just got the regular bag. I was going to get the container, but I just got a bag because I wasn't sure, and it's working out perfectly fine. I mean, I think it's going to be one of those where it'll last me a long time.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I'll just get the big one when when it's time. So yeah.
So how are the pups?
Oh, all right. They're going to be the death of me. Nino has developed, I'm going to call it a hot spot just because everybody will know what that means, mm-hmm. like on his tail, like the underside of his tail. And it's not like up near his butt or anything. It's kind of like in the middle. Mm-hmm. And I saw him digging at it on Sunday and Tim supposedly looked at it, but I think he was looking around his butt area.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not, it's like further down, like kind of halfway down his tail. And so I noticed it today when we were walking and I was like, oh my God, what is going on? And so, you know, Nina's a guy that gets stressed and it mm-hmm. comes out in his behavior. And, you know, it's been a big change with Nessie. So I'm honestly not sure, like, if this is like an allergy type thing or if this is like a self-harming thing and he's going to mm-hmm. start wearing black and smoking clove cigarettes and reading bad poetry next, you know? Like.
When Sydney was alive, she got a hot spot similar to where you're talking about in the middle of the tail underneath. And the picture is in my Google Drive, but I still remember a picture of her laying on the bed real stiff because I don't like cones. So I got the donut. And so she had this royal blue donut sitting around her neck to keep her from licking it. And she was just sitting there like, I don't like, I mean, just so put out.
That's exactly what Nino had on today. It's the Kong one. That's like the donut. Yep.
And so there was a product and I cannot remember the name of it, but it has a horseshoe on it. It's a white tube and it has a horseshoe on it. And that's what finally made it start healing up. It smells awful, like sulfur. but maybe someone who's listening will be like, it's blank. But someone recommended that to me because I was trying all these like homemade recipes. And although, I mean, because it's like, you're not supposed to wrap it up because it needs the air to dry. Right. But when it's out, you know, he's bothering it. You know, when you have a multi-dog home, the other dogs are like, ooh, what's that? Can I smell it? So it was just such a pain in the neck. But that stuff, I wish I could remember what it was called. I'll try and look it up while we're talking. It healed it up in a couple of days.
I'm using the wound balm.
What is it called?
The Buck Mountain Wound Balm.
That sounds really cool.
And then I think the dogs like how that tastes, so that you're like, yeah, they got to keep, he's had to keep the cone, the donut thing on, you know, I say cone, but I use the donut thing also. And he's like so aggravated. So
I found it. Look at me. Ooh, what is it? It's called New Stock. So NU Stock. Oh, I'm like, okay. So proud of myself because I just basically said it's a white tube. Good job, internet. Because usually the internet is not that good, but it's so, I just said white tube and horseshoe hotspots. And it came right up. It was the first thing that came up. I'm trying to get it there so you can see what it looks like. But that's what it looks like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nice. So, yeah, it cleared it right up. And it's funny because I don't deal with hotspots that often. So I had that one tube for that. And I was like, hey, well, at least I have this. Never had a hotspots with my dog again, knock on wood.
And then Nessie is completely obsessed with eating grass right now. I don't know if it's because like spring grass is coming in, but I'll be walking down the street and it's like, I have to drag her because she's like trying to eat all the grass. And, you know, if we stop, like, let's say Nino poops. And so we have to like stop for a minute and, you know, wait for Tim and Nino, like, she's just like, oh my God. Nom, 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 nom. And then her poop, she's like pooping all this grass out.
My dogs are doing the same thing. And I think it is the spring grass because they're not, you know, nauseous. They're not missing anything in their diet that I know of, and they don't do this year round, but this time of year, it is just like, oh yeah.
Yeah. It seems to have really ramped up in like the last week. Like she might do it every once in a while, but like to the point now where I'm dragging her down the street, that has been a like much newer development. And so, you know, our walks are like me dragging her until she sees a squirrel and then she's dragging me, and, you know, so and then, good God, it was like 75 degrees here today. So Tim does the evening walks. And like, thank God I wasn't here tonight because they had like three kids on, you know, those like scooter things. And then there was like a motorcycle and then like a group of kids. And like, she was, you know, she gets like all of these things are like ramp her up, you know. And he was just like, oh my God, I was never so happy to come home.
It is so much work. Apollo has decided that he wants to ride with me whenever I leave the house. So if I grab my keys, he comes and he stands right at the door looking at me. And so probably a week ago, I was just like, all right, I'm just going to go do this. So yeah, get in the car. And I realized I didn't know that he knew this. And actually, it's been a couple of weeks that we've been doing this because one day I had to drop Johan off someplace and I brought Apollo. He's like, you're bringing Apollo? And I'm like, yes, I'm bringing Apollo. And so when we come outside, I just go, okay, go potty. And Johan's like, he doesn't know what that means. I'm like, watch. And he goes and he stops to make sure like, this isn't a trick. You're not going to leave without me because I've never done that to him. But he's like, what? So, but yeah, he went and pottied and I felt like all cool because my dogs know how to do these things. And so that's our thing. He goes outside, he goes potty, has two places that he like, or three places that he'll go, but he watches me the entire time to make sure I don't leave without him. And then he comes and he won't come to me. Because he's afraid that I'm going to take him and make him go back in the house. So he'll stop at a distance and I open the door and I'm like, just come get in the car. He comes and jumps in the car and then we just go. So yesterday I drove around because completely unplanned. I went and picked up two, what are they called? Food dehydrators.
Oh.
And so I've always wanted to have different dehydrators for different things. So like one that I just did organ meat in so that, or did any type of meat so that if I did like apple chips, they didn't have a faint taste of liver. And I do clean my dehydrators, but there are some things that like, for instance, fish that it doesn't matter how much you clean them, you are not getting that smell out because you basically sat, like I dehydrated squid last year, and that was like a 10-hour process. And that squid was baked into my dehydrator and I washed it. I soaked the trays overnight outside and washed them and then soaked them again. And I was scrubbing out the, you know, everything. And it took weeks for me just to get the smell to go down and then months until every now and then you get a whiff of squid, but it doesn't smell like squid anymore. But I'm not going to dehydrate apples in it. It's now my organ meat and meat dehydrator. And so I got a small one that's going to be for fruit. So for my apple chips and vegetables. And then I have one that's going to be for fish. And I guess, you know, I don't guess people will, I don't know how they're getting this stuff, but they said they get it wholesale and then they just sell it. So it's like these open box products and then they sell them on like Craigslist and the Facebook marketplace. So I don't care. I got them for 50% off retail and they were nice. Just open box. So they had never been used. So I'm happy.
Nice. Mm-hmm. You don't want squiddy apple chips?
No. No, I don't want squiddy apple chips. It's funny because I posted a story about it and I got a few messages from people like, can't you just wash your dehydrator? And just like, yes, I did. Have you ever tried cooking squid? It's awful. It's awful.
But the lessons dogs have been learned.
Yeah, the dogs loved it. And so I'm like really excited. And the next time my friend's husband goes squid fishing and she wants to get rid of it, I will take it because my dogs love the squid. It's a hit. It just smells awful. Ugh. Anyway.
Well, I saw some exciting news about the Healthy Dog Expo today, which is that Dr. Kendra Pope has now been added as a speaker. And I just love her after seeing her there 2 years ago. So
That is so great. Because she's a specialist in oncology, right?
Yes. She's one of only four holistic oncologists in the country.
Mm-hmm. I thought so. I think that's really exciting. I think I spoke with Dr. Lori Kosher a couple weekends ago. And she was telling me about the event. And just listening to her talk about it was so exciting. I mean, we had her on the podcast as well, but it's just so exciting. I'm just like, I really wish I could go.
I wish it wasn't so far for you.
Yeah. It's like, but flying overnight to the, and when did that start? It used to be that you flew overnight because you were in a hurry type of thing. Cause that was like the red eye or something.
Right.
But now I need to stop whining. But I think it's really exciting news for the events on my side of the country, the Feed Real Institute. They have a DIY workshop. This is going to be the second year. So last year, everyone put together raw meals, and then they donated all the meals too. And someone's going to start drinking really loud because why not? But they donated all the meals to a local shelter for animals. And this year, I don't know what the workshop is going to be, but the couple behind BK Pets is going to host a workshop and it's going to be for everyone. So it's not going to be, you don't have to buy an extra ticket.
Oh, nice.
Like a VIP ticket is going to be for everyone. So, and everyone's going to get a copy of Rodney Habib and Dr. Becker's new book attends the event. So that's pretty cool too. So
nice.
I'm looking forward to that one. I think it's going to be exciting. I haven't decided if I'm going to Super Zoo this year or not. I don't get a whole heck of a lot out of Super Zoo the way I used to. It's nice to see some people there. I mean, I shouldn't say some. It's nice to see people there, but a lot of the people that I see at Super Zoo, I see other times of the year. Like, for instance, Billy, since he works for Green Juju, I see him a few times a year when he comes over to Seattle. And sometimes I actually see Roxanne. So she's come to Seattle too, and I've seen her. There are a few people that I would like to see, but I don't know if I want to go to Vegas. Maybe I'll go for a couple of days, pop in and pop out. I don't know. I'm going back and forth. It's still far, far, far away. So I just can't make up my mind yet.
Well, I don't have any excuse to go to Vegas.
Well, Global Pet Expo is next week. So that's closer to you. It's in Florida. which is, it's like Super Zoo, but it has, someone told me, it has a lot of international pet companies as well. So I've always wanted to go to global, but again, East Coast. So you would think that by now flights to the East Coast would be like 2 or 3 hours, you know, think about the Jetsons and stuff. I mean, come on, come on, Boeing.
You got no love for the East Coast.
I know. I want to go to the East Coast. So yay. I saw you sent me an email and okay. So I love this. 25% of Labradors have a genetic mutation for obesity. I feel like that's like, yeah, we know.
It says that they have a double whammy of feeling hungry all the time and burning fewer calories due to a genetic mutation. And so you do see a lot of overweight labs and, you know, maybe it's not always, you know, their fault.
Yeah.
Well, so I shouldn't judge.
I remember when the breed standard for labs changed and people lost their minds because they were like, that is an obese dog. That should not be the breed standard. But I tried to keep up with that because I felt like some people were saying, well, no, that's this particular type of lab. And so, and they have that body shape. It's not all labs. I know that my friends who have labs, I mean, their labs look gorgeous, but I do think that they can pack on the pounds. And I mean, I know that Zoe's not a Labrador, but she, I look at my sweet Zoe girl. I wonder if she has that genetic mutation where she's always hungry and she just burns fewer calories. She tries. I think I might have that genetic mutation myself sometimes, to be perfectly honest. I do like my snacks. I love Labradors. So Dr. Luden shared a study from 2023 about the connection between rice and dog food causing low taurine levels. This is crazy because during all of that DCM nonsense, no one talked about rice. People were so focused on grains or no grains. I mean, rice are grains, but I was thinking like oats and things. But basically people were saying, you know, grain-free, I mean, the grain-free diet. So basically a diet without rice, those were the cause. And it's because of the legumes that were acting as a nutrient.
Anti-nutrients.
Anti-nutrient. Yeah. And that made perfect. I still remember, I think his name was Dr. Guthrie, who was interviewed by Dr. Becker and Rodney Habib. I'm looking him up now. I remember what he looked like. And I remember actually downloading their interview and having it transcribed because I was so fascinated by what he shared. I was just like, this is it. This guy is brilliant, because it just made complete sense. So what did you learn about rice?
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we're the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Well, yeah, I thought this was just so interesting, like you said, in light of all of the stuff that's been coming out about the DCM, and it was saying that it lowers taurine levels, and the study was done feeding dogs commercial fed food. And so it says the lowest blood concentrations of taurine were seen in dogs fed lamb or lamb meal with rice diets. And so I just thought that was very interesting. And it says that these findings support the theory that taurine deficiency in dogs may be related to the consumption of certain dietary ingredients. Scientific and clinical evidence supports the hypothesis that dilated cardiomyopathy is associated with low blood taurine concentrations in dogs. Therefore, further work is indicated to determine the mechanism by which diet can affect taurine status in dogs. And like I said, this is from 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, 20 years later, everyone's freaking out when like this has been known for quite some time that what's in dog food affects taurine levels, which can affect heart conditions. So I'll make sure we have a link for everybody to that study.
And that's, I think the thing that's, because I just did a quick Google just to say, is rice an anti-nutrient? And it says white rice is almost free of anti-nutrients because brown rice has an anti-nutrient, is it phytic acid? And, you know, I didn't go into like, well, what is it blocking? But that's where there's so much confusion, where no one can agree on what's right and what's wrong. And it's funny because this reminds me of a message I got earlier or over the weekend where someone was telling me that I needed to check out, I think, oh, I need to look at, it was chlorine, was it chlorine dioxide?
Yeah.
Someone told me I should check out chlorine dioxide. And they said, this is a game changer. And I was just like, that sounds familiar. And I remember, you know, people were talking about this back in 2020, 2021. So I was just like, you know, this is all, yeah, chlorine dioxide. I was like, this is, you know, this is what I know of it. I knew that people were calling it a bleach or a disinfectant. People were saying that, hey, there is no studies to show that people should be consuming this or that it, you know, helps us in any way, that it's, you know, toxic and highly dangerous. But there were also people who were saying, hey, I cured my cancer by taking this and people were like giving it to their kids to try to either cure or prevent autism. People were taking it for viruses. I mean, there's like these two camps. And so for this, you know, when you're looking at, I try to keep an open mind because, you know, there are things that probably people thought were absolutely insane. Well, garlic, for instance, how many years have people like freaked out at the mention of someone giving their dog garlic? Whereas now we understand that garlic is beneficial to dogs. So maybe there's something to it. I mean, I'm not going to go and grab some Clorox and start chugging it or pouring it in my dog's dishes, but I will keep an open mind. People have been put in jail, like are serving years, not like 6 months, but 7-8 years for promoting and selling chlorine dioxide supplements because it's something that's not regulated. It's not supported or approved by the FDA. And the medical community does not agree. And what was interesting is I posted about it and someone said, well, it's actually not bleach. And I was like, that's another thing that's confusing because some people call it bleach. Some people say it's an ingredient in bleach. Some people point out, no, actually it's the chemical makeup of it is different than bleach. So it isn't bleach, but you know, how are you supposed to know what's what? And her point was, well, you look at the science of it and because the science doesn't lie. And it's like, that's fine for a scientist. But for the rest of us who don't remember the periodic table, we count on the medical community to tell us what's right, what's not right. And when the medical community is giving us contradictory information, and the people who do seem to be in the know kind of come off as a conspiracy theorist because the person who messaged me, I asked her for more information. Like, this is what I know. What do you know? And she refused to tell me. Just absolutely refused to tell me. And it's just sort of like, okay, so why did you message me? I mean, she was upset because, and she felt that I was judging her. And I was like, no. I mean, you asked me to check this out. I'm saying, this is what I know about it. What do you know about it? It's a conversation.
Like, I need the information. Like,
this is everything that I, it's like everything I see says it's dangerous. So, I mean, I've told that to people in the past where it's like, the reason why I ask you for your source is because when I Google it, Google knows me and they're giving me all of this stuff. And no matter how many times I Google it, I'm getting the same information, but you clearly have access to different information. So actually send me the articles that you're reading. That way I can actually get something different. But I can understand that, you know, in the past few years, when anyone who's stepped out and did something that, you know, the masses didn't do, you know, people became critical of them. So I'm certain that she probably felt that I was being critical, because I'm sure she's had people. I mean, if you hear chlorine dioxide, and I give it to my kids, I give it to my dogs, it sounds concerning.
I read that it is not the same as bleach, but that it does have a bleaching effect. Mm-hmm. So like it's used like industrially in like paper mills to bleach paper. Yes. And things like that. So.
Yes. And it's used in some areas in very tiny, minute amounts in the drinking water.
Right.
But it's not, you know, it's something
like to kill, you know, fungi and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It's not for, you know.
Which, like, right, like, you're like, okay, I get it. It kills viruses, fungi. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you kill. So, like, I see where, like, there would be some potential there. But, like, it sounds scary to use it, like, on humans, right? Because, like, anything chlorine doesn't sound particularly good, like, for people. Yeah, so, where's this information? Like you said, like, I'm not opposed to taking in new information, but I need to understand, like, where this is coming from.
Where did this come from? And, I mean, and humans and dogs and children, all different systems, all different makeups, how are you figuring out how to dose a potentially toxic chemical? And then where are you getting it from? How do you know what amounts you're getting in? You know, what
and like concentrations and
yeah, exactly. Because since this isn't regulated by the FDA, you don't know what you're getting. Someone's, I don't know, mixing this up at their house or, you know.
And right, like just because something's not regulated by the FDA doesn't automatically mean that I'm going to be opposed to it, because it's not like, you know,
I mean,
I'm like an FDA supporter here, you know. But like, yeah, it's like, I want to understand.
I just want to understand. And it's just, I think it's like with the supplement industry, I've learned so much basically thanks to our dogs, because what's interesting is, you know, this is why when I buy supplements for my dogs, I prefer to buy the supplement that was formulated for dogs with very few exceptions. The one main exception is actually real mushrooms, because even though they have a pet line, I just buy the human ones because I buy those for me. And so I buy two, one for my dogs and one for me. But now they get Daily Dog because it's convenient. It has everything in it and I love it. But for the most part, I like to buy supplements that are specifically formulated for my dogs rather than buying something, for instance, like turmeric, buying a turmeric supplement at a local supplement store. I've learned to look at the bottle to see how much turmeric is in it. And I mean, there are all these really cool products out there that have turmeric, but when you actually look up how much turmeric you need for it to be effective, none of these products have enough turmeric for it to really do anything. It's just a selling point.
Right.
So that's why it's like, I'm very suspicious of anything, whether it be approved or not approved by the FDA, anything coming out of the supplement world, because I don't know how, it's not that they're, I was going to say intentionally deceiving me. I think actually they are intentionally deceiving me, but it's still my job to do my homework. And since it's not coming from a doctor, I have to do the homework to make sure that I'm getting what I need it. And I find that most part, I mean, I was learning about a supplement, this is for humans, called berberine. I went down the Ozempic rabbit hole because it's like, who's on Ozempic? The side effects of Ozempic. And then through all those videos came the natural alternative to Ozempic. And I'm like, ooh, natural? What? Berberine. Well, there are all these berberine supplements on the market. So now my question is, if there are all these berberine supplements on the market and nobody is taking just a berberine, they're actually going and getting the Ozempic, what's wrong with this supplement? Well, it turns out that is, I think it's berberine HCI, and I don't know what the HCI stands for, but it is nowhere near as effective as regular berberine. So people are spending money on these supplements because they're cheaper to make, but they're also not as effective. So if you just go to Amazon and Google the berberine supplement and go through the reviews, some people say, you know, because people take it to lose weight. Some people are like, oh yeah, I lost weight. And a lot of people are like, yeah, I don't know if I really lost weight or not. And then I'm curious, when people order these things, how many people look up the side effects? And I'm going on a total tangent, but that's just how I feel about supplements.
Well, I mean, it's the same with the mushrooms, right? Like people buy these mushroom supplements that are just, you know, the mycelium that's like all ground up, or, you know, it hasn't been extracted. It's just ground mushroom, and that's not the same potency. You know, mm-hmm. you're not going to have the same kind of effects, you know, based on, you know, how it's made. And that's why, like, you know, we have all these questions, and, you know, we're so, you know, I'm so grateful we get to talk to people like, you know, Angela Ardolino and like Sean, who was on a couple weeks ago, to, mm-hmm. you know, understand like, what are they doing? How are they sourcing, you know, what, you know, what's going into these products? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's people wonder why I alternate, you know, why I don't just stick with one supplement. Okay. You found a joint supplement, just give them that. There's two things. One, I love variety because I think that by alternating things, my dogs are getting a little bit of something else that's giving them the same support. And two, what if the company either changes the formulation? Yeah. Changes that and it no longer works for my dogs. What if it goes out of stock? Like they lose access to an ingredient, so they have to slow production or stop production. Or what if the company goes out of business? Recently,
or gets bought out by Purina.
I know. Can you imagine? I am waiting for it. I am waiting for Purina to come out with a raw food. I'm waiting to walk into my grocery store, and right next to the Fresh Pet fridge, which is now in my Costco. Right next to that fridge is going to be one for, you know, a quote unquote raw food that is not, you know, yeah, I'm waiting for it.
Tim and I were in the grocery store the other day, and I saw this girl like walking through the store with like Fresh Pet, and I just wanted to run over and like bash it out of her hand or something. I said to Tim, what do you think she'd do if I just walked up and was like, no.
Oh my God. I wish you lived here because we could just go act it out. Because I would love to. I no longer speak to strangers about what they buy for their dogs. But I did have the uncomfortable situation on social media, probably within the past couple months, where someone said that they get their raw from Costco. And I was just sort of like, oh, so like you do DIY and you buy all your meat. And I was just thinking like, wow, because I thought about looking into that, but the meat's still pretty expensive. And you're not getting organ meat and stuff. You're
just right, getting. Right.
But she was like, no, for pets. And I was like, Costco now has raw food. And I'm thinking, what raw brand?
Yeah.
Signed a deal with Costco. And why aren't we talking about this? Yeah. This is awesome. And I was just like, do you remember the brand? And she's like, no. And so she eventually posted a picture of it, like, oh, here it is. And I was like, oh, no, that's Fresh Pet. That's not raw food. That's processed food. And other people jumped in. There's like, yeah, I wouldn't feed that to my dogs. And I felt really bad. I did try to be nice to it. Like, you know, like if it's working for your dog, okay. Right. But just so you know, it isn't a raw food brand. But it's just like when someone feels like they found the solution and they got off of kibble and now they're feeding fresh food and only to find out that you should probably just go back to the kibble. is
you're just feeding expensive cold kibble.
Yes. It's just a bummer. So it's just like, bummer.
Oh, honey.
I know. It's like, I'm so sorry, but good job trying. So Poppy Phillips, so she shared this study showing zeolite type detox improves heavy metal toxicity in rats. So the Glacier Peak Super Cleanse that you actually put me onto, I cleansed myself as well as my dogs with that because I thought it was so cool just hearing you talk about it. But my question is, how often are we supposed to use those type of cleanses?
That is a good question. I do it like once a quarter.
That sounds reasonable.
You know, like I'll do it for like a week or 10 days. Mm-hmm. And I think it might even tell you to do it 5 days on, 2 days off or something. Or mm-hmm. so like, you know, maybe I'll do it Monday through Friday and then Monday through Friday and then
yeah,
set it aside. I mean, I've had the same bag for like a really long time.
I know, right? I mean, it's so nice. I mean, that's what I mean. This podcast is expensive because
yeah.
you'll mention something and I'll be like, I like that too. And while you're talking, I'm just like quietly ordering myself on mute so you can't hear me typing, and I quietly order it. But I do like the Glacier Peak. And at the time I was making myself smoothies. So I decided to, it's like I read the ingredients and there was nothing in there that was going to kill me. So I went ahead and took it along with them because I always wonder like, okay, what are they experiencing? So I want to experience it too. I did the same thing with fasting. Like when I decided I wanted to do intermittent fasting, I did it with myself first to see, am I going to be starving? And I was fine. And now I fast fully on Sundays.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's actually not as hard as I thought it would be. I just drink tons of water and tea all day.
So I had to get an MRI yesterday and they do the with contrast thing. Mm-hmm. And so then I was like drinking tons of water to like flush it. And like, I must have peed like 700 times yesterday.
It's the worst. When I was staying up all night watching the morning show, which to everyone who recommended the morning show to me, thank you. To Aaron sitting across from me who recommended Apple TV. Oh my gosh. I still have to finish Shrinking. I still have to finish, what was the other one? Ted Lasso. I only watched part of one episode, but I'm watching so many things that I was like, no, I need to just wait. But I did finish Platonic. And and I finished Monarch. I just love being entertained. And it's been so long because I just watch the same thing over and over and over again. It's gotten to the point where I watch TV now and I can identify people who were on Grey's Anatomy. And even worse, I can tell you not the season or episode, like the episode number or season, but I could tell you what was going on. So when I was watching, I was finished season one of the morning show. There was a person on there and she looked familiar. And I just like, oh, think. Ah, yes. Her husband had road rage and got into a really terrible accident. And so he needed to have surgery on his liver. And his son had to decide if he was going to donate part of his liver to help his dad. But the son ended up deciding he would do it, but only if the mom agreed to tell the police the truth of what happens. And then they were going to move out when they left the hospital. And after that came to my mind, I was just like, I watched this show way too much. I have a problem. So
it's funny you say that because my cousin my cousin's son donated part of his liver to his mom. Oh. And he was only like 19 or 20 at the time. And so he can't really like drink or anything now.
But doesn't the liver regenerate?
I think that it does, but, you know, probably in not. An abundance of caution.
Yeah, probably not a good idea to just become a raging alcoholic.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, it's just, I thought it was so cool. I mean, just the whole thing of I don't know. I think everything about Grey's Anatomy is so cool because I love that show so much. And so I'm going to tell you something that I did that will benefit you. So Katherine Heigl, who played Izzy Stevens on Grey's Anatomy, I don't know if she owns a dog food company or if she's like co-owner and she's spokeswoman of a dog food company, but I do know that she owns a sanctuary where she takes in animals and she's a big animal lover. Yeah. I emailed them and asked if she would come onto our podcast.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Did they respond?
There was a Facebook something and someone tagged me on Facebook because I mean, this is why I truly, truly love my followers because they know things about me because it's not like I'm putting all my business out there. But I mean, to be perfectly honest, I barely leave the house and I don't have a whole lot of business. So they know that I love Grey's Anatomy so much so that I follow a Grey's Anatomy page. I've made 2 videos with Grey's Anatomy as the background because I just recorded it off the TV and prayed that NBC didn't send a cease and desist. But, you know, with Grey's Anatomy and just because I just love that show so much. But anyway, they know I love that and they know I love dinosaurs, dinosaur dog toys
dog
particularly, toys. But I'll take anything with dinosaurs. So I get tagged in or messaged really cool things with dinosaurs, which is why I now have a dinosaur snuggie and a dinosaur toy box for all of the dinosaur dog toys. And someone tagged me in Katherine Heigl's post and said, Kimberly, here's Izzy, and she loves dogs too. No wonder you love Grey's Anatomy, or something to the sort. And I was just like, it would be so cool to have her on. And she's like, you should just ask. And I'm like, okay, I'll ask.
So we should also get Kaylee Cuoco. She has a whole line of dog products, and she doesn't have food, but she has like allergy products and things like that. And I had that thought too.
Oh my God. I mean, it would just be so much fun. I mean, just
I think I've seen every episode of The Big Bang Theory. And I loved that show where she was like the stewardess.
Yeah, stewardess. I don't know what it was. I don't remember what it was called, but I remember
flight attendant. Yeah. Yes. God damn, that was a good show.
I didn't watch that. Now I'll have to watch it. Yeah, I'm just like really, yeah. I've also, I'm tempted to reach out to this influencer who he just makes videos with him and his dog. And they just give me, I would love for him to make long form videos and fall asleep to him. Of him just talking about his dog. I just love him so much. And he's just so cool. And I'm tempted to reach out to him as well, because I just think he's amazing.
It's not Aaron with Gigi, is it?
It's a guy and he has a pit bull.
Yeah, I think that's...
He's a big buff guy with a big buff girl pit bull.
Sweetie Gigi is the one.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Of course you would know. Of course you would know. But yeah, I love his... I mean, I don't know.
He's the best dude. He's such a good guy.
Yeah. And I saw a video, and I don't even sometimes listen to the video with sound on. I just sit there and watch, because he's sitting there talking and her head's on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's just so content. And
I have a hoodie from them that on the front of it says lead with love.
Oh, I love any influence. So like right now, this month I'm doing, because it's, you know, Women's History Month, I'm trying to on a daily basis, on the weekdays only, because I just can't commit to every single day, post of someone who I follow that I just get a really kick for just random reasons out of their content. And so if this were Men's History Month, which I don't think there is a Men's History Month, or if there was, we probably demolished it back when men were behaving, when bad men were behaving badly and it had come to light, but I would include him. So I'm waiting to see if there's like a national pit bull. There's got to be something like that.
Yeah. It's in October is Pit Bull Awareness Day.
Yeah. Because he's just, I love people who I guess epitomize loving dogs.
Yeah. Like
where, you know, it's not, there's not this, And not to shade anyone who uses, not so much, I don't like that word, but they use their platform to promote different causes and messages. That's fine too. But I specifically am drawn to people who just love dogs. And you could, like, when you see just how they're into their dogs and it just makes me so happy. And so the one that I posted today was Wime Crime Sisters. Because she has Weimaraners. And that actually was one of our first dream dogs until we met someone with a Weimaraner and realized that we don't have the lifestyle for that dream dog. So I just admire them from afar. So, yeah.
I had a friend a long time ago that had a Weimaraner, and it was before I ever had dogs. And she would probably be shocked to know that I now love dogs. Because her dog was a lot. And I did not love it.
Bella was so funny last night, because at about 11:30, it's sort of like everyone was settled down. And I was just sort of like wide awake. So I was like, I'll watch an episode of The Morning Show. And then that turned into four episodes. But Bella, at about 11:30, like, she got her second wind. And she found a toy. And it's so funny to me, because she'll lay on the ground and she'll just sit and just squeak it and squeak it and squeak it. And I'm just looking at her. So I finally was able to get the toy from her, and I thought, I'll put it on the bed, and then she'll jump on the bed and just lay down. And then she can just lay down with her toy. But, and she watched me and she stared at the toy, and then she's like, yeah, I don't know what this game is, but I'll go ahead and jump on the bed, grab my joy, jump down, lay down, and then squeak and squeak. And then eventually she just like, I guess the squeaking got her so worked up that she started just running around the house squeaking. And I'm like thinking of Johan, who has to get up at the crack of dawn, and was just like, oh, you gotta be quiet. You can't do that. So eventually she settled down, but by then I was very much wide awake. And so there you go.
Well, we're trying an experiment here this evening where Nino is hanging outside with Tim while Tim smokes his horrible, disgusting cigar that I still hate. So he started this whole cigar thing back in August, and I'm pretty sure he's only missed 2 days since then where it was like too windy for him to really like be outside. So I'm hoping that if Nino gets like extra daddy time, it'll calm him down some, because when Tim's out there all night, Nino just gets like stressed, and then he just like wants to go out, but then he comes back in, and then he like lays in the dining room and just like stares at the door where Tim is, and seems to like stress him out that he can't be with Tim then, because that was not the routine. The routine was always that they hung out, you know. And so anyway, let's hope that'll calm my Nino down some. So this Nessie girl has been cracking me up. I guess there's been a lot of late night animal activity. I don't know if there's like a fox maybe coming around or like a rat. Like, I know one night last week I came home and there was like a rabbit sitting in our driveway. I was like, oh, dude, you cannot hang out here. This is not the place, dude. I know you've been hanging out here the last couple of years, but it's time to move on. We've had so much rain here that like half of our backyard just has like standing water in it. And it's so I can't ever just let her run around the yard. I have to, because she'll just run completely through all the mud, you know? So I have to take her out on a leash all the time and be like, no, we're not getting in the water. And I feel bad. Like, part of me just wants to just let her run, but the ground is just, and then she gets upset when you try to clean her off. So it's not worth that fight.
That's right. I know. Actually, now the sun's here. Well, I should say that, the sun's here, but we now finally have blue skies. Well, that's nice. Yeah, Apollo actually loves being dried off, because to him, being dried off is being hugged.
That was Penny.
Yeah, so it's like if I Penny pull out the towel and shake it, he comes running over and zooms the position, and I dry him off. And at first, when we first got Bella, I loved her, because she, you know, when you think about when we bring home a dog, these dogs are just like, I have no idea who you are. I just know you kidnapped me, and now I'm here, and I don't know what's happening, and I don't speak your language. And now there's these other, I have no idea what's going on. So Bella was so like, when we came here, she had spent the afternoon with me, so she at least knew who I was. But she still wasn't 100% sure. So she wouldn't like sleep with me, you know, or anything. Took her a while to just finally, basically, I became her human. But when I first started, would dry them off, I had to like try and chase her down. And she had nervous piddles. So it was like, I could dry her off and she's just going to pee on the ground. Yep. And so I quickly figured that anything I do for Apollo, if she watched it, she would be like slowly come over. And so she would come over. And so I would be drying them both together and then slowly move my way and dry her off. So now she loves to be dried off, but now she's like all over the place. So she's jumping all over us, like, dry me off too. And it's like crazy. And she's so funny. She's such a different dog than she was a year and plus ago. She's very comfortable in her space. This is her house.
It's been great seeing Nessie get more comfortable, and she's very bonded to me. And I feel like she almost like Nino gets kind of jealous if he sees Tim spending time with her, and he'll like start like banging on the gate and like barking and stuff. If he knows that, like, especially like if Tim's playing with her and he can tell like that she's running around or having fun or doing Zoom. Oh, Nino gets pissed. And so like Tim feels like he can't spend a ton of time with her because it upsets Nino, and you know, he's self-harming. And you know, like, it's just been interesting. It's been a challenge. Yes. I feel like I've just been completely exhausted ever since we brought her home. And then I feel bad. Like, because she's such a good dog. Like, she tries so hard. She's so smart. She's so patient. And, you know, like, I can just tell her, like, stay, and I can just leave the room, and she will just not budge. And I've never had a dog that was good like that. You know, like, they would stay if you were looking at them, but not if you turned your back or left the room. They'd be like, hey, where are you going? You know?
Yeah.
And she's so good.
There is a video that I saw on TikTok. And of course, I couldn't find it now because everything's on TikTok, but maybe people, I love her little blockhead. I just
she's
really
popping
do.
Up. She's like, oh, you're talking about me.
But there is a video where this guy is two guys, you know, and they're enacting what it's like to have a dog. And so they're both just sitting on the couch. And then one guy stands up and the other guy was like, oh, we're going somewhere. What's going on? What's doing this? And someone was like, someone needs to make this video, but with the sound, but with actual dogs. And someone did with German Shepherds. And it's so funny. And it's so true. I mean, Zoe is my most independent dog. So if I leave the room, she doesn't need to follow me. She will follow me if she thinks there's food in it for her. But otherwise, she's just like, you know, I know where you are. Whereas Apollo and Bella don't let me get too far away from them for too long. They really want to just eventually, and eventually it's like, if I were to move this, I'm in here now, all the dogs are in here. If I moved into the other room, eventually they would all end up in the room. And it makes me feel so good. It's ridiculous. Johan, he's always like, you always have to have all the dogs love you. And he's so right. it's a problem. When I go to the Skookum Brewery every Sunday, the dogs there all know me because I'm usually there with treats and I walk around and everyone gets a treat. I do ask people who I don't know. I ask them if their dog can have a treat first. I'm not the hat person, but I do. I want all the dogs to love me. And so.
Do your dogs notice daylight savings time?
Yes.
But ours were funny about it.
They're pretty cool about it. And the reason why, I'm not suggesting other people do this. I'm just suggesting that I do this. And I'm going to tell you why I like the benefits of doing it, but then I'm also going to tell you why I really do it. So my dogs don't eat until 10 or 11 o'clock. So daylight savings, by the time 10 or 11 o'clock rolls around, I'm ready to feed them and we're good to go. So it's not like they have to try and get me out of bed or anything. But I do this because I like to feed my dogs between a certain block of time. I got this idea from Rodney, where it's the, you know, like the circadian rhythm is what it is. I think it is. But I don't remember how he explained it to me because this is a conversation we had like
years ago. It's part of the like intermittent fasting where you have like a window of time.
Yeah, but you have a window of time. And basically another friend of mine, she explained it. And she might have even gotten this from Rodney to think about, you know, like in our body, there's a name for it, but I can't think of it right now. If she were sitting here, she would bring it up. But she said, imagine there's a little copy machine guy. And I think of the guy from Saturday Night Live, you know, making the copies. And so imagine there's something in your body that's making copies, but they're making copies of cells. And it's like when they're constantly making copies of cells, then you're going to run down the machine and then you're going to start getting a damaged product. And so think of an older copy machine where there's ink all over the paper, the papers are getting jammed up or getting wrinkled up, having creases in them. Those are the damaged cells that can potentially turn into cancerous cells. So you want to give the coffee machine a break so that it can sort of reset and have maintenance done. And so that's why you would want to feed, do intermittent fasting or just do fasting. That's why people feed once a day. And that's why I don't want to feed my dogs once a day, but I like feeding them between a 6 at most 7 hour time period. And then after that, they don't get any food. Or I should say, if they do get a food or a treat, it's going to be something that's very low glycemic and isn't going to spike the blood sugar. So like coconut oil, you know, I'll let them lick coconut oil off my finger, or I will give them a protein treat. But I don't give them anything that's going to be, that I think is going to spike blood sugar. So it's basically going to get the coffee machine started up again. The real reason why I do those things, I mean, that's why I do it. But the real reason is because since I started working from home, I am no longer a morning person. I was never a morning person, but I did it because I didn't I wanted to basically arrive at work early so I can get off early and still have daylight hours to walk my dogs or clean the yard and things like that. Now I am not functional until about 8:50 is when, like, if anyone ever wants to give me a call, about 8:55 is when you will get someone who talks. I'm awake. I've been awake probably since 7:30, but I do not leave my bed until about 8:30 to 8:50.
But you know, I'm always very careful because I know we have the time difference that, like, I don't want to ever want to, like, you know, I'm not going to text you like when I get up in the morning, you know, because I'm like, oh my God, it's like 3 a.m. It's like, yeah. And so I'm always like, I like always wait till like after lunch or something. I'm like, I don't want to be that person that's, like, texting you at some insane time because I forget that there are time zones, you know?
Yeah, I have two friends on the East Coast that will call or text me early in the morning, and I don't even bother looking at my phone. Well, I'll have my phone in my hand, but I just don't even pay attention. I just go to a different screen because I know that the ringing will stop because they'll realize, oh crap, it's 6 a.m. there.
Right.
It's like, but yeah, I just sit there and I'm snuggled in bed with the dogs and I'm comfortable. And I just sort of, you know, look at something that's funny and, you know, and then I post my first social media post of the day. And then it's like, okay, let's start our day. And so yeah, no longer a morning person.
Well, I'm just laughing because I knew about the intermittent fasting stuff while Penny was here. But Penny would have murdered me if I tried. Because that girl was on a schedule. She let you know. And, like, she would follow you around. And, you know, where are you going? Where are you going? And then she would, like, you going to the kitchen? Like, she'd start, like, running, like, we're going this way, right? Like, so, yeah, I never really felt like I could try to change anything up. And then with Nino, he has such a delicate stomach that I have to be very careful when I feed him, and I can't do it too early. I can't do it too late. It's like pretty much got to be like exactly 12 hours.
Yeah.
Nessie gets like more all over the place than because like I'm fitting stuff around, you know, like that poor girl. Sometimes she's like stuck in the crate till 9 p.m. because, you know, I had something to do. I had a volunteer meeting or something. And like, she's got to wait until I get, you know, get done that to get dinner. Whereas like with Nino, I run home and I'm like giving it to him immediately. And then I'm like, I got to get on this meeting. And then, you know, she's just got to wait. So
yeah.
She's a little all over the place.
It's funny because, you know, I've seen people post on social media that we shouldn't feed on a schedule. We should feed all over the place because if, you know, if our dogs were wild, they wouldn't eat regularly. And I do use that if my dogs are wild explanation, but I have to remind myself of that anytime I'm tempted to start really overanalyzing what I'm doing with my dogs. I use that one. I use the, my dogs were just rolling around in deer poop yesterday. So let's calm down. Actually, Zoe was about, she was leaning in to take a big old bite of a pile of deer poop, yesterday, actually. And I was just like, no,
thank you.
Let's not. No, and so she looked at me just like, all right. And I was like, yeah, no, let's not do that. Let's leave it there and stuff. But, because this is the time of year now that the deer are starting to come through. And so I have to watch out for, I don't actually mind it too much, but, I also have affectionate dogs. So I just, yeah, you know, it's either kiss me or eat the poop. And I just, let's not eat the poop. But I do that. But, you know, people will say you have to do that all over the place. But these dogs right now, and I'm going to knock on wood right now, because I am so very lucky. No allergies. You know, I don't have, you know, hunger pukes do happen, but very rarely. I mean, after all of these years, I have found a system that works and all of my dogs are in the system. I think Rodrigo, everything was so much more complicated because of his EPI. So for him, I did have to feed on a schedule and I had to make time because I had to add the digestive enzymes. So he had to sit. There were so many things I had to do. And now that he is no longer with us, I can just feed all over the place, but I prefer a schedule because it's just nice to have a routine. But one thing that I do is I like my dogs to go for their walks before they eat. So I want their, like their metabolism really fully charged so that when they eat, their body's digesting their food. Because I find that if they go for a walk afterwards, to be honest, that means I have to get up earlier to feed them because I don't want them walking directly after eating a meal. So that works too. Yeah, I'm all over the place with my dogs.
Well, I had to laugh yesterday. So, you know, Sunday, you're like, okay, it's whatever time, it's the weekend. Like, you know, an hour doesn't make like as much a difference, I guess, like in our schedule on the weekend. But then when I woke up on Monday morning and I went to get Nessie up, a lot of times she hears me like, you know, getting up and brushing my teeth and stuff. And so she'll just like be waiting at the back door, like, let's go out. Mm-hmm. And she was like all snuggled up, like dead asleep. And she like comes out like, why are you waking me up in the middle of the night? Like looking at me like, you're crazy. She was so funny about it. I'm like, oh yeah, I guess she's like, why is this crazy lady up at 5 a.m.? Like,
welcome to spring ahead, my dear. I know I saw a video recently. It was a Doberman Pinscher where someone walked into the room and turned on the light. The Doberman Pinscher had been sleeping and they sat up and just had this crazy look on their face. Like, why are you coming in here just turning on the light like that? It was so funny. I'm such a crazy kook about dogs.
I get up and turn the light on, because I'm usually up for like a half an hour or so before Tim and Nino get up. And like, I felt so bad. Like sometimes I'll like get the covers and like cover Nino's eyes. So, you know, have, like the light shining in his eye. Cause I'll be like, I'll like use the pillow to like shade him. So Tim and I sleep, you know, with like our heads at the one end of the bed, you know, at the same end of the bed. And then Nino, and we have king size bed. And then Nino sleeps in the middle of us, and he has his own pillow, and his pillow is down at the end where our feet are.
Yep, Bella sleeps with her head on the pillow next to me, and she tries. Basically, she starts out sleeping on her side of the bed, but by morning she's curled. I mean, she's just like underneath me. She's just all over me. And Apollo's down at my feet, or, you know, on my legs. But they're just so funny. Zoe, she loves the bed, but Zoe would prefer the bed to herself. She does not like sharing the bed. She will sometimes share it with me. But if anyone else gets on the bed, she's just like, yeah, no, I'm not having this. Because she doesn't like it. And I feel like she only tolerates me being on the bed. She would prefer that I leave. So she just moves. She's right underneath me. Hi, Zozo. She's going to live forever.
All right. Well, thanks for the chat.
I'll talk to you later.
Until next time, guys.
Bye.